call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. How are you today, Bob?
I am terrific.
Well, of course, you're always terrific, but what do you think about this great stimulus bill? Now, Barack Obama says that this is really what we needed. Boy, the stimulus bill is going to solve all of our problems. You know, pretty soon, you know, the flowers are going to begin blooming again, and the factories are going to open up, and but is that really going to happen?
Well, about September, October, people are going to realize that it hasn't worked, and it isn't working, and Congress is going to... Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're doing fine. You sound great.
Okay. I got a little gobbling on this end. And Congress is going to decide that they need another package. And we'll get that right after the first of the year, and that will be probably a $2 trillion deal. And I think that the part of the money that is going to be expended out of the $350 billion TARP funds will probably be used for things that Wall Street didn't intend. And I think they're going to need four or five more TARPs of $700 billion. They'll probably need at least four, and so these will come over the next 2 to 3 years, and they're still not going to solve the problem. And one of the problems with the stimulus bill is it's just so loaded with pork, and they've tried to make everybody happy and, in the process, dispersed the money too widely. I think it should have been concentrated in consumption. I mean, that's what we need, consumption to manufacture, to rebuild inventory, and so on. So instead of giving a couple $800 credit on their taxes, which won't come into gear in until next April or May, that what they should have done is given them a credit of perhaps $1,500 or $2,000 now in the form of a check and allowed them to jack up the economy. But even that I don't think would have worked either, because you're still looking even though we think $800 billion is a lot of money in the scheme of things, in an economy, that $16 trillion economy, that's not a lot of money. And it is money, but it's not what's needed.
Well, I certainly agree with you. Did you say we have a $16 trillion? Is the GDP up to 16, or what is the GDP now?
Well, it's probably backed off from there. It's probably around 15.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, our guest today is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. And, of course, I know they're talking about, well, there's only $786 billion, but it's going to take trillions more. And nobody ever asks, where is the trillions of dollars coming from? We don't have it. Are we going to borrow it? Are we going to manufacture it? Are they going to create it out of thin air? Are they going to destroy the value of our currency? And I think they are. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. We're talking about the stimulus bill, and Bob has said that he doesn't think the stimulus bill is going to do that much, that it's going to be the first in a series of massive outputs of money that's going to be demanded by the government. Each time we're going to be told, if you don't pass this bill, things are just going to get worse. Remember what they told us last October? If you don't pass this bill, they're going to be troops on the street, the whole country is going to go into chaos by next Monday. You've got to pass this bill. That was October 3rd. And they said, if you vote against this bill, why, there's going to be a chaotic situation and more people are going to lose their jobs. And a lot of the Republicans voted against it. And sure enough, just like Mr. Paulson said, well, things got chaotic and more people lost their jobs. But it wasn't because they voted against it. It was because it wasn't going to do any good. It wasn't designed to do any good. It wasn't designed to try to stop the cascading loss of home loans. That was almost 5 months ago, 4.5 months ago. And they still haven't done anything about the housing mess. And yet they know that's the cause. Now, why would they have gone 4.5 months when they had the money? Congress gave them the money. They couldn't even give away $350 billion of it. That they tell us, oh, my goodness, the financial system shut down. There's no money. There's no money to loan, yet the banks wouldn't take their money when they would offer it to them. What's wrong with this scenario? And I would ask you that, Bob. If the banks don't have any money to loan, why wouldn't they take the money that the government was offering them at a minimal interest cost?
Because it's not an ongoing problem with the banking community at the moment. But the problems are there. We're still talking $3.5 trillion. The banks are offside. They just haven't owned up to it yet, but evidently it's not as pressing as the other matters of getting the economy jacked up. But it's more about politics in here than anything else. It's about vote buying from the public. And that's the nub of the thing. And they're going to keep on doing that. This public making the public happy or their financiers happy, you know, the politicians. And that's going to continue. And that's part of all this largesse that's going to be spilled out over the next 2 or 3 years. But, you know, once they've done it 2 or 3 times, the public is going to say, forget it. And at that time, there'll be terrible hyperinflation. Will still be in depression.
Hold that thought, Bob. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess there's Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, and Bob simply pointing out that after we've given them not only this $786 billion, but then the next trillion, and then the next trillion after that, and maybe another trillion after that, and of course by then they will have totally destroyed the value of our currency and got us into hyperinflation. And then they're going to say, oh, shucks, well, we didn't know it was going to work or not. We had to try. And ladies and gentlemen, they knew it wasn't going to work. This is not going to solve the problem. What we need to do is get back to a sound currency. What we need to do is do away with the Federal Reserve System. What we need to do is hold the banks who created this problem, who sold, frankly, fraudulent bonds. If you and I were to sell a fraudulent bond, we would be, you know, forced to take it back and put in prison. But the bankers, of course, who actually were selling the fraudulent bonds, nothing's being done. In fact, we're rewarding them by giving them massive amounts of money and being allowed to, of course, retire with golden parachutes. And go right ahead, Bob.
Well, you know, there's very few people who are running these financial firms who are not going to find a way to get paid off. And, you know, if they can't get their parachutes and other things, then the Illuminists will find a way to pay them.
Yeah, I was reading, I think it was 700 people who worked for Merrill, each one at least over $1 million, while the firm was losing $26 billion. If we're going to reward them for doing such a poor job and losing $26 billion, why should they be getting massive bonuses? Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are going to pay them. I mean, after all, Merrill then was turned over to Bank of America, and we're going to have to give Bank of America the money to make up for it. And this is the way the system works. And what they're doing is transferring money from the common people, from the poor people in a wealthy country, to the super rich in a wealth company. I've got nothing against, you know, a free enterprise system, but we don't have a free enterprise system. We have a system where we have favoritism for certain groups who are associated with the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. And when you get a bonus of $1 million after losing for the stockholders $26 billion in destroying the company, why is there something wrong with the picture?
It certainly is. And, you know, this is rife throughout all of corporate America today. The salaries are outrageous. I mean, you know, $500,000 a year, $1 million a year, that's where it should end. I mean, these people shouldn't be making that kind of money. I mean, how do the shareholders put up with it?
Well, of course, they were doing very well, and of course, they really weren't concerned as long as they were getting their big dividends. But now, of course, they ought to be very, very concerned that these fellows who were paying themselves these phenomenal bonuses have destroyed the value, half the value of the investment of most of the stockholders. And of course, most of those financial stocks, well, it's a very lucky one that's only down 50%. Some of them are down 60, 70, 80%. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I think that's just a taste of things to come. There's a lot of professionals out there who think, in looking at the 1930s, who won't say we are, but they know we're in depression. They think we're going to get a 1932-type rally, and it isn't going to happen because it's a different market. All of the structure is different. The U.S. in those days was on a gold standard. They had a balance of payment surplus. They hardly owed any money at all. They didn't have credit cards. They didn't have loans like we have had and do have today. They didn't have corporate America strung out heavily in loans and large inventories. And they had a fairly peaceful population. There wasn't the crime that exists today. So I think it's going to be five times worse. So I don't think there's going to be any 1932 type rally because of the stimulus package. I think the stimulus package has already been baked into the cake. And I think it's been discounted, in other words. And this market isn't going anywhere. And the only reason it's not lower is because the United States government steps in and keeps it from going lower at propitious times. Now, we're looking right now, and this is from David Rosenberg at Merrill Lynch, chief economist, strategist, whatever he is there, top man. He's very good. And he says he's looking at $28 a share earnings for the S&P 500, which relates in today's prices on the Dow Jones Industrial Average of 30 times earnings, and the same with the S&P 500 average, 30 times earnings. Now, normal price earnings ratios are 15. Now, if it's 30 and it's 15, which is normal, that means that based on earnings, the Dow should drop 50%, or to 4,000 from 8,000 in round figures. The worst possible case is, in depressions, markets don't sell at 15 times earnings. They sell anywhere between 5 and 10 times earnings. So if we take 7.5, we're probably looking at 38 to 4,000 on the Dow. And that's what I predicted 22 months ago.
Well, now, of course,
that's where I think it's going.
Are you talking about the Dow, or this 30 times price earnings ratio? Is that the Dow, or is that the Standard & Poor's, or both of them?
It's the S&P.
All right.
But it's somewhat similar with the Dow.
All right, fine. So basically, the stocks are still overpriced because the earnings have fallen and fallen precipitously. And, I think that the people who are hanging on to their stocks are being told, oh, just hang on, you know, they're going to come back again. What happens if Bob is right? And I suspect he is. We're just at the beginning of this whole financial crisis. Remember, 4.5 months ago, they told us this whole thing centers around the drop in housing prices, and we're going to do something. Just give us the $700 billion that we asked for, and we're going to take care of the housing prices. 4.5 months later, they've done absolutely nothing. But they say, well, in a couple of weeks, we're going to come up with a program. What do you mean a couple of weeks? It's been 4.5 months. Do you really expect that we're going to believe you when you say you're going to do something now? It should be pretty obvious to any intelligent individual that they have no intention of solving the problem. Because if they don't have the problem, how are they going to collapse our economy? How are they going to impoverish our people? How are they going to carry out their real agenda, their real goal, which is the destruction of our economy and the establishment of a world economy, a world financial system, and of course, the new world religion. That's very important because, of course, behind all of this are the powerful spiritual forces that energize these wicked, wicked, wicked men. Well, Bob, certainly what's going to happen as far as gold and silver? They're not doing much of anything. Gold was up a little bit last week, and silver's, doing fairly well, but got a long way to go before it even gets back to where it was a year and a half ago.
Well, I think we're going to see that here very shortly. And I expect gold probably will sweep down to 932 on Tuesday. It was relatively unchanged today. And that'll be the second sweep through that area. And that should solidify the gains above 932. And I think in the next perhaps 2.5 months, that we will see gold challenge 1030 and break it. And so we got a very strong upside. Silver selling in the $13 area, let's see, to be exact, 1361. It'll move back up and challenge 20. Probably get through to 25. If gold breaks over 1033, it'll probably move up to 35 if gold goes up to 1200. And at probably $1,700, you'll probably see $40, $45. And so the whole thing's ready to go. The chaos in the financial markets is just being extended. And gold is, and silver are not going up because the inflation is great at this time. It's around 9 or 10%, and that's not good. But what's coming in is the effects of monetization by the Fed and the Treasury, and that'll start in March or April. And once it starts, people will start to notice we're in a depression and we still get inflation at the same time. Not a happy affair. And at the same time, they'll be calling for more and more bailout packages of one kind or another. And the real hook here is Europe. Europe's in serious trouble. And their problems are greater than the problems that the United States has, if you can believe that. What people don't know about right now is that a lot of loans were made in Eastern Europe and in Latin America and Asia, but particularly Eastern Europe, and they were made for mortgages, and those loans were made in Swiss francs, and the currencies have all gone down 40 or 50% against the Swiss franc. So if you were paying $500 a month for a mortgage, hypothetically, you'd be paying $750 a month because it's dominated in Swiss francs. So what's happening is they're having massive foreclosures in Eastern Europe. And that's going to cause chaos.
Well, it's really such a tragic situation and just so much suffering for common people or for the average individual out there. And of course, the government here is going to extend unemployment benefits, but it's pretty hard to get by on unemployment benefits. It's better than nothing. So what they're going to do is try to hold off really, of course, the things getting really terrible by just giving people and people money, and even people who don't make anything, don't pay any income tax, are going to give them money too. It's just like a money machine, but nobody ever asks, where is the money coming from? Well, we'll borrow it from other countries, but what happens if they won't lend it to us? We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Bob.
Incidentally, I've written about this situation in Europe for the issue that's coming out on Wednesday. For any of you people wanting to get a free introductory copy, and for those of you who are our subscribers, you know it will be there under the Europe section. But it's dreadful. And what it's going to do is bolster the Swiss franc, and the Swiss franc is a carry trade currency, and a lot of this money is going to get fed back into the Swiss franc as the foreclosures are completed. It's going to be somewhat like what happened to the dollar over the last 10 months. It went up in spite of all the problems it's got because of a return to the dollar currency. And I think that the Swiss franc is going to be the strongest currency in the world, along with the yen, and then somewhere along the way here, the dollar, which has already topped out, it's been selling in the 115, the Swiss franc's been selling in the 115 area, 116 to be more close. And the yen is 91.93, which is 92 to a dollar. And they will remain that way, but the U.S. dollar index, which is the USDX, closed at 86.11 on Friday. And it had a high of 88, and it can't break out to the upside. And so I expect that by the end of the year, there's a good chance it will be back down in the 70s again. And that's going to put a lot of pressure on all of the financial problems. And at the same time, if anything, it'll make gold and silver stronger, although they have broken away from each other.
All right, I hardly believe the other day when I saw the Swiss franc was, I think 1.2 or 1.1, something like that, but I can remember where you got, you know, $1 would buy you 4 Swiss francs, and now is the Swiss franc over a dollar now?
Well, it's been as low as 98.
Right.
It's been as high as 98 and as low as 121.5 in the last year. And it's 116 approximately right now, but it's going to go up again to 99.98, whether the Swiss government likes it or not.
Okay, in other words, it'll be worth more than a dollar then at that point.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I think that it's just amazing as you see all of these things unfolding. And of course, what's happening, of course, is tremendous uncertainty there in Europe. And certainly, it's very, very hard to be importing and exporting with certainly currencies that are fluctuating so widely. And I noticed in one of your recent newsletters, you talked about how the banks were no longer writing letters of credit. Does that have a
Well, they're not writing very many of them, and that's part of the reason why the Baltic Dry Index has dropped from about 90%. Now, it's rallied back in the last few months from its low, but you know, goods are sitting around waiting to be shipped, and the banks are not giving letters of credit.
So why aren't they giving letters of credit?
Because they want to collapse, that's why.
Well, of course, that's the logical, that's what I would think. But there must be some justification for it.
No.
Okay, fine.
The money's tight, and we got to do this, that, and the other thing.
Hold that thought, we'll
and
be
no,
right. Hold that thought, we'll be right
money.
Back, okay? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Bob Chapman. And Bob just actually reminded me of something I really hadn't even thought of. And that is the one reason why we've seen a breakdown of international trade, is the banks refuse to write letters of credit. Would you like to explain to our listeners what a letter of credit is, and why the refusal of the banks to write the letters of credit is one of the major reasons why international trade has collapsed?
Yes. And let's say that Stan Yifong Dong is in Shanghai, and he makes widgets. And Bob Chapman is in Los Angeles, and he buys widgets. And Mr. Chapman wants to buy 1 million widgets. And the normal procedure is that the bank in the United States will issue a letter of credit to a bank in Shanghai, and with that letter of credit, which is a guarantee that the amount of money would be paid, the bank in Shanghai releases the manufacturer and says, go ahead and ship. And he puts it in containers and puts it on the ship, and off it goes. And it's just a guarantee that the money will be put up. And that's not happening because companies would normally get credit letters of credit from banks, and they would conduct business that way because they may not have the capital to do it otherwise.
Well, I think the thing is that Bob Chapman doesn't trust that fellow over in Shanghai, and the guy in Shanghai doesn't trust Bob Chapman. He's not going to ship the goods until he has the money in hand, and Bob is certainly not going to send him the money because he doesn't necessarily trust him. And so the whole thing was then the banks. The banks took care of it, and the banks had the money on deposit and guaranteed the payment if Mr. Wu ships the widgets to Bob, and as soon as Bob gets the widgets, he says, go ahead and pay Mr. Wu. And so that was how the trade was carried out. But when banks stopped, issuing letters of credit, then it laid the foundation for the collapse of international trade. Would that be a good explanation, Bob?
Yes. And the basics to that were that that it was preceded by the imposition of free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing. And that ripped the heart out of manufacturing so that we only manufacture 11% of what we do now, consume now. And it used to be 28% in 1980. And so they've deliberately wrecked the ability to manufacture in a big way, with lots of people out of work, over 5 million, and these were good-paying jobs that paid over $30 an hour. And now those don't exist anymore, and we have to buy from other people. Well, I don't know whether other people...
And getting the information out on a regular basis, so I applaud you for it, and you must be doing almost as much radio time every week as I am.
20 hours.
20 hours.
Each time, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the internet. If you would like to get a free introductory copy, you can do it. Get it. One of is getting out worldwide.
Well, I think that what I've come to understand is, there's a point where American people, I mean, we're very tolerant of tyrants. You know, it's amazing. What point do you think the world, this country is going to say, enough's enough, and we're going to take rope down to Washington, D.C. and march on the Capitol?
Well, I think it will take a great many people without work, without a home, without their vehicles. I mean, people who are desperate. And it won't be just marching on Washington. They'll march on everything. And it's going to happen all over the world, not just in the United States.
But I think
isn't it already
happening
in Manchester and other places?
50% of the countries of the world or more.
But, Dan, what we have to do is get the people to understand how it all fits together, because there are going to be a lot of false leaders out there giving them a lot of false information. So you've got to help us get the information out. Hey, we're going to
I am, Stan, taking the position. I'm getting all my ducks in a row.
Good.
Because when I approach these people, I have to have the information and not falter. I want to... You're my mentor. Okay. But I need my ducks in a row, and that's why your program is so great, to give people like Bob Chapman and Pastor Butch and all that to understand things, because people need to understand, and I need to educate my fellow man.
Okay, amen to that, and I appreciate that. Our November and December 2008 newsletters are excellent. To give you the background, and, of course, the January newsletter is even better. We're going to get that out one of these days.
Bankruptcy, believe me. And if you have a policy and you've had it for years, you are probably past the 50% point of the policy. In other words, if it was a $1 million policy, it's probably worth $600,000 or $700,000 or $800,000 on its own. And once you pay half of your insurance, what you're doing is you're self-insuring yourself. And my advice is, this is just general because I got to know all your details, but I would, because of the company involved, and because if the dollar is going to be devalued or even defaulted upon,
national underscore forecaster.
You don't use the word the.
Okay.
In the email address. It's international and an underscore looks like a line on a line. It's not a dash. A dash is higher up.
Okay.
An underscore is a line on a line. It looks like a dash, but it's down on top of a line.
This is a term policy. Would that make any difference?
Yes, it does. If it's a term policy, you hold on to it.
Okay.
If it's a life insurance policy, it's a different story.
Okay. A term you're not paying as much as you would with and probably doesn't have any real inherent value then. Okay, fine. Thanks very much, Brenda. And let's go to
thank you.
Let's go to Sean calling from Minneapolis. Hi, Sean. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey, good evening to you, Dr. Stan and Mr. Chapman. It's great to talk to both of you. Mr. Chapman, I have a question for you. You have made a prediction that this scumbag, illegitimate government that we have in America is going to perpetrate another false flag operation sometime this year. And I wrote some very, very disturbing documentation on Alex Jones' website and a couple of others that there is very likely going to be either a biochemical or a biological attack in Chicago. Your opinion, Mr. Chapman, what are the odds of that happening, and what can we do to stop this parasitic government from doing it?
Well, first of all, it's probably improbable, and because we know that they already did 9/11. What method they would use, I don't know. Alex has talked about those two venues. Other people have. It's plausible. The timing, I don't know. I think, in all probability, they would want to first extend the war, in the Middle East or in other places, and to get that going, to distract people from the terrible, financial and economic, situation in throughout the world, and particularly the United States in this case. And then, I think if they were going to do false flag type of operation, then they would execute it. And so it may be a little bit further down the line than most people think.
We're just going to have to wait, Sean. Nobody really knows other than the fact that there's no question that the justification for going into World War One, the sinking of the Lusitania was contrived. The justification for going into World War Two is contrived because they had forced the Japanese, that cut off their supply of oil and natural resources. They knew that they had no alternative other than to attack, and they wanted an attack so they'd get us into the war. So there was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. There is no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and all those people who went overseas to fight bravely, thinking they were fighting for our country, were simply betrayed by our leaders because there are evil and wicked people there. We're just going to have to wait and see. But, of course, we need to get people to understand the past so they can anticipate the future. Okay? I guess we lost.
Yeah, absolutely, because we don't want this parasitic government to have any justification to implement martial law.
Amen, and that's what they really want. And, hey, thanks for so much for calling, Sean. And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I want to pick up on the previous caller's threat there. This bailout, which I call a blackmail bill, is actually a false flag operation by itself. They're blaming it all on the home mortgage holders that have been defaulting for so long. They're saying this is the reason for worldwide economic collapse, and so they have to step in like the heroes.
When they have created it in the first place.
But, Mike, they have not stepped in. That should be the one thing that everybody should understand. 4.5 months ago, they said, this is the problem, and we're going to do something about it. And 4.5 months later, they say, well, in a couple of weeks, we're going to come up with a plan.
Organizations and the ability to continue to plan 24 hours a day all over the world, things that they're going to do 20 years from now. And we're trying to fight them doing this. So this is nothing new. This is something that has been in the works for a long time.
But thank goodness for Alex and Joyce and the others who are getting the word out, and Bob who's getting the word out. So we got a lot of good things going, of course, Mike. And there's much we have to be encouraged about.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be exciting times, Dan, like you always say.
And basically, we are all going to be hurt before this is over. There's no question. We're all going to suffer. But it's just possible that we could come out with a reconstitution of America. But we have to expose the evil and wicked people who control both political parties, who consistently have their people in key positions. I'm talking about the Trilateral Commission, where 11 of the 87 members of the Trilateral Commission are now in key positions in the Obama administration. Does anybody out there think that out of the 350 or 325 million people in America, they had to go to this little group of 87 people to give them all the choice positions in our government, including 5 positions in the State Department and certainly the Secretary of the Treasury and the Chief of Intelligence and the National Security Advisor and the Deputy National Security Advisor and the UN Ambassador, all coming from the Trilateral Commission? Anybody who believes that's just by accident has to be incredibly naive. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, this big signing that Obama is going to be doing tomorrow in Denver, it's in the Denver Museum of Natural History, or close to that name anyhow. You can get it on the net pretty easy. And this thing has severe occult undertones or overtones. David Bay with the Cutting Edge presented an interesting summary that this is the alignment of the age of Aquarius with the planet.
And I think if David does some excellent work, that's cuttingedge.org. Is it?
And I sent you an email on that. I tried to study into what the museum has and what they do.
It's pretty horrible. I've seen it, and believe me, it's horrible. Hang on. Mike, do you have anything else to say before we let you go?
I know you're short on time. I just want to kick that out there so people could be looking for the occult underpinnings of this. It's so strange that he would be going to this elaborate measure for a simple signing ceremony that would normally be done in Washington, D.C.
Well, because the thing is that the Denver airport is simply a center of the occult in the United States today. And talk about bizarre. You see some of those pictures there, and they send chills down your back.
Yeah, but that's like 30 or 40 miles away. At the museum, right adjacent to it, is a big glass pyramid. Also, there's a planetarium, which I'm wondering, just wondering, if they would be setting up the aquarium lineup of planets and the moon. And also, they have Egyptian mummies there. I wondered if they'll go into the mummy room for the signing.
Who knows? Who knows?
It's something to watch.
Keep us posted, Mike. Thanks so much. Bob, you've got about a minute to wrap up the program. Actually, two minutes.
I think people, you know, should pass the word on about what's going on out there. And I know that you're only going to be able to influence 1 out of 100, because that's been my experience since 1960. And so you got to keep at it. For every person that you turn on to what is really going on, who understands and acts, you've saved essentially another soul, and the people who radiate from that person, their family, their friends, and so on. So don't give up. You just keep on going, because if we would give up, we may as well just go and crawl in a corner and die.
Very well said, and our job is to keep on keeping on, and of course, but I think that we're making progress. I talk to people all the time who've just waked up, and they seem so shocked that when they try to tell others, they think they're crazy, and I say, it's not up to you to convince them. It's your job to tell them, and you know what? Who knows what was going to happen later on down the line that's going to convince them you're right, but we're planting seeds, and God, of course, is going to bring them to germination. Well, Bob, we're just about out of time. We're certainly going to look forward to talking to you real soon again here at Radio Liberty. One final thought before we let you go.
Let's hope gold is up tomorrow.
All right, fine. God bless. Thanks so much.
Because we have so many people who have their assets in it, and it's the only way to go.
Okay, God bless. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, Chris, our guest has been... Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, always a pleasure having Bob with us, and we hope that you enjoy our programs with him right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoy our programs with every Monday afternoon with Bob Chapman as he spends an hour with us. We have him twice a month on our evening program. We think it's vitally important that you understand what is happening. And all we can do is try to make the American people understand this is not happening by accident. It's a replay of exactly what they did in the 1980s, in 1980. What they did, of course, you know, in 1930, and of course that was the prototype of what's going on today, where they intentionally precipitated the crisis, and they have intentionally precipitated the crisis now. But they can't let the American people know that. They would be furious if they knew they were losing their homes and their jobs and their future and their children's future at the behest of a group of very, very wealthy people whose loyalty is not to America but to this idea of a one world order. Well, we have a great new book now. It's called The Money Creators. It basically, you can go up on the Amazon. You'll find it for $39.95. I think we have it $14.95. It's written by Gertrude Coogan back in 1935. In the middle of the Depression, forward by Senator Owen, who at that time was certainly one of the leading senators and who had been involved with banking and was trying to get the American people to understand the scam that was being perpetrated at that time. The same scam is being perpetrated today. We have an excellent talk. It's called The Financial Tsunami. We gave it several years ago, but nothing has changed. We told you what was going to happen. It's happening. You need to get the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the talk on the forbidden secret and the talk on the planned police state. There's syllabuses, both of those. You need to get our information on the concentration camps. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you get the concentration camp special, You'll see Congressman Jack Brooks at the Iran-Contra hearings trying to bring out the fact that there was a plan at that time to suspend the Constitution and round people up and put them in concentration camps, and Senator Inouye interrupting over and over again. Why? Because the last thing they want the American people to know is the plan is there, and they're building those concentration camps. And today, or more, I should say, they already have large numbers of them. They've rehabilitated the Japanese concentration camps from, you know, the Second World War, because, oh, we would never want people to forget how terrible it was to put Americans in concentration camps. That's why we're modernizing them. What sense does that make? Ladies and gentlemen, it makes lots of sense. If you know there's a master plan, if you get the concentration camp special, you'll hear Congressman Gonzalez, longtime head of the chairman of the House Banking Committee, saying, and there really is a plan, in case of a national emergency, to round up American citizens and put them in concentration camps. That's why you need the concentration camp special. That's why you need to help us get the information out. And then, of course, we have so much great information. If you haven't seen the new DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix, you need to get it. You need to get the other parts of the Secret Mystery DVD series. Eye of the Phoenix is the third one, but these are excellent, very professionally done. You, of course, need to see Chris Pinto's interview. Chris actually made all of these DVDs, but he made one for us when he was speaking here, The Atlantis Connection, because America is to be the new Atlantis. If you'd like to read the book where this idea comes from, it was written by a Satanist named Manly P. Hall, who formed the Philosophical Research in Southern California. And in his book, The Secret Destiny of America, which we have on a special catalog, not the regular catalog, because we don't want to be criticized for pushing these books, but we want you to read them. We want you to understand what's going on. So you have to remember, it's The Secret Destiny of America, The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall. We carry his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, where he tells you how they hide their emblems in plain sight. And you'll see them in CBS. I was watching the other evening, I think it was this one about, the Great Race or something like that. And they had this drum, a native drum in some foreign country. And there on the top of the native drum was the occult emblem, that is the emblem of CBS.